The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Curtis Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Oh, what a Friday broadcast we have put together for you. We got all kinds of news to get to. A state representative is proposing a bill that would prohibit kids from having to eat their lunch outside. Thank goodness. And, you know, I just heard Aaron's story, but these Seattle high school students who are walking out of class today because they aren't protected well enough from coronavirus. Yes, you are. Stop buying into what the politicians and the media have been telling you kids. You're fine. You're not in danger. But we've got all these kids who are turning into psychological basket cases because adults are using children for political purposes. And all of this, you know, COVID stuff with children is purely about politics, making kids eat outside in the rain, kids walking out. It's like kids are afraid that they are going to get shot at school because a bunch of anti-gun zealots have convinced children that mass massacres happen all the time in our schools. When reality is, kids are safer at school than they are at home, than they are driving to and from school, than they are at sports practice, than they are walking to the grocery store. School statistically is about the safest place in America for kids to be. And yet a bunch of anti-gun zealots have convinced kids that they're going to be mowed down in a bloody rampage. And now we see, and also we've convinced kids that they're never going to be able to have children themselves because your world is going to be underwater and in 8 years you're going to drown, and drowning is a horrible way to die. And so we've convinced kids that global warming is on a billion times faster pace than reality, that they're going to drown. We have kids thinking they're going to be mowed down by gunfire. If the gunman evades, or if they evade the gunman, then they're going to drown. And if they evade the gun and the rising water, then coronavirus is going to kill them. And then we're shocked when we hear that kids have more mental health problems than ever before. It's because of a bunch of sick, despicable adults who, instead of trying to do what should be one of our primary jobs as adults on this planet, and that is to make kids happy and joyful, that should be one of our primary missions, making children happy and joyful. And instead, we got a bunch of adults whose primary reason for being is to make kids as fearful and psychologically warped as possible. I'll talk about that later today as well. Oh, I'm fired up today because we got a good show. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
I'll get to Jay Inslee's press conference from yesterday in just a minute. But the question I must ask, are you ready for Jay Inslee 2024 for president? Yes. Your greatest dreams may come true. Jay Inslee might be running for president of the United States of America once again. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, hey, Dor, didn't he run for president in 2020? Well, yeah, he did. Didn't he fail to get even 1% of the Democratic primary voters? Well, correct, yeah. So why would Jay Inslee be thinking about running for president again? Well, a local journalist who I'm going to talk to at 12:30 got Jay Inslee's calendar and found out when Jay Inslee went to that big climate summit in Glasgow, Scotland in November, he didn't fly over the poles from Seattle to London. He instead stopped in Chicago for a few days. And why? Turns out on his calendar, he met with a huge Democratic fundraiser and with David Axelrod, one of the architects of Barack Obama's 2008 presidential winning bid. And so, and none of Inslee's people want to talk about why he went to Chicago and why he was meeting with all of these people. But there is at least the possibility that Jay Inslee is looking into running for president in 2024. How about the Inslee versus Trump? I want them to admit Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C., just so Trump could win 52 states and territories. Instead of just 50. Well, Puerto Rico has a vote now. Forget about the statehood. Yeah, Trump might even beat Inslee here in Washington. But that is what his calendar suggests he's looking into. I will talk to the journalist who got Jay Inslee's calendar coming up right after the news at 12:30 this afternoon. Jay Inslee had a big press conference yesterday, and you always put the lead up top, the nut graph, it's called in journalism. And so Jay Inslee kicked off his press conference with a very important announcement.
Today, to start our discussion, I have some big news to make, very controversial issue. I do want to announce that I'm fully supportive of this bill that will make pickleball the Washington State sport. I actually think this is a good idea for a number of reasons. One, this is such a product of Washington's genius. My predecessor, Joel Pritchard, and Congress and Bill Bell and Barty McCall.
And then he goes
on
to talk about how pickleball was started here in Washington. Let me skip forward a little.
People keep healthy. It's available to so many different people. And it keeps old basketball people playing pickleball. And I want to thank everybody involved in growing this.
There we go. It keeps old basketball playing pickleball. Nicole, I am not joking about this. I am absolutely 100% serious. So when Jay Inslee began his first term as governor, he and I played one-on-one basketball against each other. He had 7 inches on me, but I still kicked his butt one-on-one. But that was a fun event. You weren't producing back then, Nicole. Were you at that event? Did you go to that?
No, I think that it was within the first couple months of me even being employed at Bonneville. And
okay.
I didn't even know about it.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have believed it. It was a sold out. It's at Shorecrest High School, where I was coaching at the time. We sold out about 2,000 seats. We asked people to bring food for, I think it was Northwest Harvest. That was the entry. We had standing room only, but it was packed. Every seat in the gym to watch Inslee. And then we had a 5-on-5 game, too. We both recruited teams of ringers. But the big show.
I would have loved to play.
You could have played.
Oh, yeah.
It was a co-ed game.
I would have loved that.
And then the big capper was 6'4" Jay Inslee, 6'3", against 5'8" Dory Monson. And I had to put a whooping on him, one-on-one. So anyway, I'm deadly serious about this. We started his first term as governor with a basketball game, and even though I think he doesn't like me anymore, because I've been a pretty staunch critic of his gubernatorial leadership, but let's set up, since he wants to get this whole pickleball craze going. I don't even play much pickleball. I play a little bit. But let's set up a me versus Inslee pickleball game.
Don't you have special outfits that you wear against the Wymans, or is that
well? No,
their
I
outfits?
Don't. Paul, and Heather Moyer, because I do have a sport court at my house. I have a half court basketball, and we do have a pickleball set up on it. And when the Wymans and the Moyers came over, Paul and Heather Moyer, they went into the bathroom and put on their pickleball outfits. they're matching white tops and shorts, which is very cute. But yeah. But I haven't played much. But. Think about it. It will bookend his 3 terms as governor. We start with a basketball game. We end with a pickleball match. Can you make that?
I love it.
No, I'm not even going to ask the question. because I know you can. Nicole, make that happen.
Okay, I'm on it. For real.
I'm serious.
I know.
You know I'm deadly serious about this.
100% I know you're serious, and I am very serious about making it happen. Like you, believe he's not our biggest fan anymore. I requested an interview last week, and I did not specify date, time, anything. I said whenever he's available, and I got told he's not available.
Yeah. No, he doesn't like me or my show.
I'm
going to
give it our best shot.
Yeah. I don't like his governorship. I don't have any personal problem with the man.
You don't have to talk politics during this.
No. And you know, he keeps talking about how he wants to get things together. Here's the only request, though. I don't know how much he's played. I know that I've played very, very, very little pickleball. Just schedule it at least. I'm trying to think how much time I would need. If you give me
Spring.
3 months.
Yeah.
Three. I don't care how experienced he is. I don't care how good he is. If you give me 3 months, I will beat him. I will train. I will figure out a way to beat him at pickleball, just like I took. And maybe he's just still, you know, licking his wounds from the basketball game. But since he wants to really push this pickleball as the state sport.
Be careful. Don't be rubbing it in his face or he's not going to play again.
No, I'm trying to, I'm doing a Clubber Lang trying to get Rocky to fight him. I'm trying to appeal to his sense to want to fight back against me. This is a very old.
We know he listens.
He listens. He listens to the show. He takes notes and then he does the opposite of every single thing that I say. I'm trying to shame him into a game. But Governor, at least 3 months from now. So any time after April, let's make it 3 months and 1 day. Tax day. We can both remember that. On tax day, April 15th. Anytime after that, you and I play some pickleball together, and we'll raise a bunch of money for some good charity again, just like we did last time, and we'll knock the roof off this thing. So Governor Inslee, I, non-pickleball player Dory Monson, am challenging you to a pickleball game to follow up our one-on-one basketball game. What do you say, Governor? Let's make it happen. Okay.
I'm going to send that to him.
Okay, please do. Please do. So that's how he started his press conference yesterday. But then the rest of it. Okay, Governor, since I want you to play pickleball, turn off the radio now because I'm about to criticize the heck out of you. So then the rest of the press conference, he talked about how our hospitals are understaffed. Our hospitals are understaffed because Jay Inslee fired so many healthcare workers who were unvaccinated. So he creates the problem, and now he's going to fix the problem.
First, we want to help them with staffing shortages. And this is really most of the problem is not a physical logistics problem. It's a staffing shortage problem, both because of the increasing cases and because people who work in these hospitals are themselves becoming ill.
Okay, he keeps saying there's a staffing shortage problem. You created it. And now he's, riding in on the white horse.
So we know that the staff shortages have pushed hospitals beyond their capacity. So hospitals have told us that they believe having some National Guard personnel can help them.
So the National Guard, they're going to be called in to help out with the staffing shortage in hospitals that Jay Inslee created. Also, this one's infuriating. So in February of 2020, so almost 2 years ago, I had to do a total knee replacement. I was in agony. The pain was, I think, literally killing me in my knee. And it was termed, technically, a non-essential surgery. Well, it might be termed that, but it wasn't non-essential to me because the pain was debilitating. And now, and I got in about 2 weeks before the COVID shut down and they banned all non-essential surgeries. Now, here we are 2 years later, and Jay Inslee is banning all those types of surgeries again.
So we are going to be requiring hospitals to temporarily halt non-urgent procedures so as much capacity and staff can be dedicated to emergent needs, the people who need this right now.
Okay, this is criminal. Because the people who are in severe chronic pain, they need that right now. But you're now saying they can't do anything about it. Oh, and he also wanted to make sure that you hate anybody who has chosen not to get vaccinated.
So I think we're appropriately disheartened to find ourselves in a situation that so many people are not vaccinated. And like I said, about 80% of our people in our who are being treated for COVID right now are not vaccinated. So we should not be happy that the fact that so many people are unvaccinated have put us behind the eight ball on this. But that is the situation.
Well, you told us that we were going to be past it. You told us once we got the vaccine that life was going to get back to normal. You told us if we wore one mask that we could go about our daily business. And now you are just hating on the unvaccinated who, for whatever reason, have chosen not to be. It was another crazy press conference. But Governor Inslee, I throw down the gauntlet. You and me. Pickleball. Give me 3 months to train. I'll put a whooping on you. Let's do it. Let's do it, Governor. Let's bookend your three terms with a couple of one-on-one encounters. That's my challenge. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, coming up next, I'm going to talk to the journalist who found Jay Inslee's personal calendar and or professional calendar entries. There was a very strange side trip when Jay Inslee went to Glasgow, Scotland, that suggests that Jay Inslee might be looking into running for president again. You're going to hear everything behind it exclusively. Coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Oh, be still, my beating heart. Could my deepest, darkest dream actually come true? President Inslee, in just 3 years or so. There is a piece that I read at WashingtonObserver.substack.com by Paul Query, a local journalist, who detailed that Jay Inslee just may be laying the groundwork for another presidential run. He joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Paul, it's great to talk with you.
It's great to be with you, Dory.
All right. So tell my listeners, and as I told you off the air, I just thought this was a fine work of journalism by you. So Jay Inslee went on a very well-publicized trip to Glasgow last November to a climate summit, but you got hold of his calendar and you found a pretty interesting detour. Tell me about that.
Yeah, the Observer tracks politics and the influence thereof, and as part of that, I look at the governor's calendar under the Public Records Act all the time, and I noticed that instead of flying directly to Glasgow or to London and then to Glasgow, he flew to Chicago first, and he did a couple things there. He gave a public speech on climate change at the University of Chicago's Institute of Politics. And then he sat down for dinner with the director of that institute, who's a guy named David Axelrod. And the political junkies among your listeners will recognize David Axelrod as the guy who helped get Barack Obama elected president twice. And he is, you know, he kind of runs a podcast and he does his thing in his alma mater at the University of Chicago. And he's on CNN all the time. And he's kind of an Inslee fan. He said a lot of nice things about Inslee when he was running for president a couple of years ago. And so I was interested to see him fly out there and, you know, speak to the students there. And then he's, you know, the calendar indicates they sat down for, you know, a pretty fancy dinner afterwards. And then the next day, the governor went downtown to see a, you know, kind of a high-end career coach who helps sort of high-powered lawyer types. I'll kind of figure out their next step. So all that. Oh, and also I should mention that before he sat down with the University of Chicago students, he met with one of the bigger political donors on the Democratic side in that part of the country. And you know, so when I look at this trip, I'm like, why would he do that? Why would he go out of his way to go to Chicago to do all these things that have, you know, really not much to do with being governor of Washington? And, you know, it sort of looks like the early stages of another presidential run. Now, I should point out that the governor's folks had no interest in talking to me about this. So we don't know exactly why he was doing any of this.
Right.
But, you know, we do know that he did it.
You would think, because, and as you point out, he has two different groups of spokespeople that he works with, his official governor spokespeople. And then is there still a Jay Inslee for president campaign fund that's active right now?
I don't believe that there's a presidential campaign that's active right now. However, there is a 2024 Jay Inslee for governor campaign that's active, and I keep track of that, and that's a pretty active thing, and that's where the governor kind of stashes his political operation, including his longtime fundraiser, Tracy Newman, who is, you know, raises money for a lot of Democratic politicians in this market. And when I look at his calendar, you frequently see Tracy Newman staffing what's called personal time, which is, you know, Inslee raising money for various kind of political causes, which isn't obviously part of his official duties. And so his, you know, regular folks won't talk about it.
Right.
Now, the political, you know, the ongoing political campaign doesn't really maintain a spokesperson per se. So, you know, whenever I ask them stuff, they just ignore me. But it's definitely there. There's about, I think they raise, you know, they raise tens of thousands of dollars a month for that campaign, and, you know, and spend it, you know, primarily maintaining this kind of skeleton political staff.
And so a Jay Inslee for governor 2024 campaign fund, if he chose to run for president again, could that all those funds just be rolled over into a presidential campaign fund?
I think it would be a little more complicated than that, and there isn't enough money there to really start a presidential campaign.
Okay.
But in terms of this kind of early exploratory stuff, which isn't really very expensive, you know, you're not buying television or anything like that.
Yeah.
You can certainly do that, and we've seen politicians elsewhere do that. For example, Dow Constantine was basically running a shadow campaign for governor for a couple of years out of his reelection campaign for county executive. Until, you know, the governor decided he was going to run for another term. And, you know, you can just see that in the spending patterns. You know, you're buying tolling, you know, you're buying, you know, you're paying, you know, certain kinds of consultants, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 years before you're actually going to run for election. You know, you don't do that unless you're thinking about running for something else.
So let's talk about a couple of these Chicago meetings. So you mentioned he met with a large Democratic donor, and that's a guy named Mark Devaney, chief technology officer of Lion Cave Capital, which you called the terrifyingly named Lion Cave Capital. And this guy, he likes to be a player in big time Democratic politics. I think it's reasonable to assume, Paul, that this guy would not be interested in the Washington gubernatorial situation. Is that one reason why you thought this might be some preliminary presidential inquiries?
I think it's reasonable to assume that. The governor is a longtime fundraiser for the Democratic Governors Association, which is a dark money political action committee that primarily plays in primarily plays in governor's races around the country. For example, they plowed $800,000 into the Washington State Democratic Party in 2020 when the governor was on the ballot.
Okay.
And that's actually kind of small potatoes for them because that race wasn't really in doubt. The governor's, he's a big player in that. So it could be that he was meeting with this guy in aid of writing a big check to the DGA. Who knows? And what we know is that the guy has spent significant amounts of money with various Biden funds and PACs, and that he put a lot of money into defending a House seat in suburban Chicago.
Okay.
In the last cycle. So, you know, so, I mean, the guy's a whale.
Yeah. And the one that is more intriguing, the aforementioned David Axelrod, who, as you said, was Barack Obama's, one of his architects in 2008. And my first reaction was, what in the world would David Axelrod want to do with Jay Inslee? Because I know Jay Inslee, and Jay Inslee is no Barack Obama. And but you said that Axelrod is actually kind of a Jay Inslee fan, if Axelrod wanted to be a kingmaker again?
Who knows? I mean, we know that Axelrod has a podcast. Inslee was on the podcast sort of early in his presidential bid, maybe I think before he announced. And then when the governor folded his political campaign, Axelrod, you know, sort of made a point of talking about how well he had articulated the climate change message and that he was leaving with his stature enhanced and his dignity intact, which isn't something that a lot of, you know, failed presidential candidates can necessarily say. And so, you know, I think that there's pretty clearly some mutual respect there. And, you know, I think that if you were thinking about, you know, the possibility that the current administration might become politically, you know, untenable in, you know, 2.5-3 years.
Might become. They might be there already.
You might go see David Axelrod and say, yeah, you know, okay, what do you think?
But here's the bottom line, though. Jay Inslee couldn't even get 1% of Democrats in the primaries before he dropped out in 2020. What in the world would make Jay Inslee think that he could somehow be any kind of a factor running for president in 2024?
Well, I mean, I think that that's a question for the governor. And it's obvious that we are, you know, way too early to really speculate about details here, you know, but we know a couple things about the current administration. You know, the president is, you know, for as presidents go, quite old. His approval rating is very low in the sort of, you know, Jimmy Carter, Donald Trump range.
Right.
The vice president's approval rating is similarly low, and she, like Inslee, you know, did not fare well when she was running for president. And so, you know, it's possible to imagine a scenario in which, you know, the president doesn't seek reelection and, you know, the vice president is sufficiently unpopular so that there's, you know, some room for Inslee or for another candidate. And in that scenario, you probably don't get the kind of free-for-all for the Democratic nomination that you had the last time around, where you had, you know, 10 people.
Right. Right. Well, it's just hard for me to believe that Jay Inslee would be that delusional, because there are a couple of kisses of death in politics. I mean, people can't stand Kamala Harris. People couldn't stand Donald Trump. Jay Inslee, the more he talked, it wasn't that people hated him. They got more and more apathetic about him the more they heard him talk. And I think that might be even worse, Paul, that, you know, he was getting all this CNN, MSNBC airtime that he could possibly get. And the more exposure he got in 2020, the more people couldn't care less about him. So that's why I think he'd be rather delusional if he's really making some early inquiries for 2024.
And again, I should point out that the whole piece in general, you know, was me having a little bit of fun with what's going on in the governor's calendar. And it might not signify that at all. You know, he and Axelrod just might be buddies, and he flew out there to, you know, speak, you know, as a favor. You know, we don't actually know, because he, you know, he wouldn't actually address it on the record.
Got it. All right. Well, Paul Query, he writes at Washington Observer at Substack.com, a watchdog of politics and government and influence. And what I love, even though you said we might hear your dog, I love that you include Arya, is that a black lab, Arya?
That's right. She's a 6-month-old black Labrador retriever. She's a regular feature of the Observer. I hear about it from her fans when I don't put a picture in.
I like that. All right. Well, Paul, it's really nice talking to you. I'd like to stay in touch. I love your work.
All right. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it, Dory.
Okay, you bet. Paul Query, go check him out at WashingtonObserver.substack.com. Great government watchdog. All right, what do you think? Is it possible that Jay Inslee is laying groundwork for 2024 presidential run? You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. And we have lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Got a couple of dog stories for you at both ends of the emotional spectrum. A man down in Des Moines yesterday was charged with first-degree animal cruelty. But, man, that doesn't sound like enough to me. I mean, first-degree animal cruelty, we take that seriously. But isn't there some higher charge? An 11-year-old girl was walking her pet male boxer, a 5-year-old dog named Tyson. So the 11-year-old girl was taking the dog for a walk, and Tyson, this 2 days ago, Tyson got away from the 11-year-old girl. And there was a 64-year-old man named Curtis Madden. He was taking his dog for a walk. And the boxer started running at Curtis Madden and his dog. So Curtis Madden, and the reason the dog, Tyson got away from the 11-year-old girl, she said that she tripped and lost control of the leash. So the boxer started chasing the black lab that the 64-year-old guy got. The girl was calling for her dog, and Tyson turned around and reportedly, according to the charging documents, the boxer was coming back toward the girl when the 64-year-old man pulled out a gun and shot the girl's dog. And then Tyson got back to the 11-year-old girl and was whining and crying and limping after having been shot. And according to the charging documents, the 64-year-old guy, Curtis Madden, he walked up and he executed the dog a second time right in front of the 11-year-old girl while screaming profanities. He was 8 feet away from the girl when he shot and killed her dog with the second shot. And at first, the guy said, he was attacking my dog. Well, police responded, and his black lab didn't have any signs that had been attacked. And finally, the man admitted that, no, he didn't attack us, but I was afraid he was going to. A neighbor, you know, saw the dogs running, but this guy just killed the 11-year-old girl's dog right in front of her. Can you imagine what that's like for that 11-year-old kid? It's just absolutely a hideous story. And the guy, according to court documents, he shows no remorse about shooting the dog in front of the girl. And so, and we've had a lot of increased cases of animal cruelty, especially in the last couple of years since the pandemic began. Okay, at the other end, we were on the air live yesterday when we found out that a dog had been found alive in the landslide house in Magnolia. It was last Friday, a week ago, when the house slid. The husband and wife, they were trapped in the house, and they believed their two dogs were crushed to death in the landslide. Well, yesterday morning, one of their relatives was there trying to help them get stuff out of their house, and it heard a dog whimpering, and they called the fire department. We told you live yesterday, breaking news, that they found the dog, but the audio of it is just absolutely incredible. The wife, Dee Dee, she just screamed as their black lab, Sammy, was pulled out of their rubble house. Sammy, they found Sammy. And after losing your house, and it wasn't insured against a landslide because insurance companies call that an act of God, but it was a very sweet story.
Man, I didn't hear anything once the fire department showed because all the saws and everything were so loud.
It was a neighbor.
We just took apart the entire floor and we pulled her out. It looks like she had just enough room to survive, so she wasn't crashed by anything. It doesn't look like she was punctured or... she had just a tiny little bit of room, and I guess she was surviving on it.
Was trapped. No food, no water for 6 days. So a happy story in what's been a tragic week for that family. We'll check the news for you. And then the Fastest 15 is coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.